Welcome to the Murphy, Sam, and Jody After the Show podcast, brought to you by Factor Pre-Prepared Meals. And Sam has a code for you at the end of the podcast, and Jody and I have a little surprise for you at the end of the podcast about that, too. Mm-hmm. On the show today, Jody was saying that you were impressed that I came to the realization that I was crazy compulsive over COVID, during COVID when we were quarantined, and looked up at the wall at these little radios that I had started collecting back in 2020 or whatever.
During COVID.
Yeah,
we have probably more than a dozen in the house of old radios.
I believe Murphy said 21.
And 21, well, he's got some of them in his man cave.
Ah.
So and they're not all in the house.
They're not the ones you would picture. If somebody says old radio, most people picture the wooden radios. Big. That's not what I'm talking about. There are a handful of those, but these are actual, they had tubes in them, but they were made of, I don't remember. What do they call that? Bakelite. That's what it was. Sort of a predecessor to plastic. It was kind of a plastic material. Mm. So these were manufactured in the 40s, early 50s. They're very Art Deco looking. And I found this guy that was selling them on eBay. This is where I'm going.
Oh, this is all
found
from
you too.
One person.
Most of them are from one person.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mm.
The
and
collector.
He's in the stuff that he finds. I don't know where he gets it. It's just really cool. Fantastic condition. Most of it, not all of it, he'll tell you whether it's working or not, but most of it actually is, they're functional. Mm-hmm. And but this is why I was getting to the compulsive part. This is why it became a compulsion for me, because I was interested in them. Mm-hmm. And I was catching that the prices were just going up too high on these, and I'd forgotten, you know what I used to subscribe to? A sniping tool. I used to use those sniping
tools.
Oh,
yeah.
And I forget.
Come see, Jody. I'm going to snipe this.
And so, you put in the most you want to bid, and it bids right up to the last second or whatever. And so it's very difficult for anybody to outbid you if you have done a fairly strong bid, if you know what you're shooting for. So I got hooked on that. It's really weird how compulsive that became. Because
that became like a
the
personal
first,
thing.
Right. The first three that I purchased, I realized I probably overpaid for these. The guy's smart to put them up for auction, mm-hmm. but I was overpaying for these. And not that I'm an advocate for all this kind of stuff, but if that's why it became a compulsion for me, because I couldn't wait to see. And I'd set my threshold. The thing is, you set your threshold and you walk away.
Yeah.
I know what I'm willing to spend. If I don't get it, I don't get it.
Yeah.
If I do get it, awesome. But usually it's because it places that maximum bid that you have.
So it became compulsive because you overpaid and then you were trying to win your money back somehow or something. Like, what does that mean?
No, it became compulsive because of the snipe part of it.
He had a win. The bet or the auction.
Right, exactly.
Against the other people.
Every person that was trying to put a last minute auction, I was winning every single one of these.
Oh, so it created a feeling of winning.
Well, I guess winning's the wrong word. The real winner's the guy I was buying them from.
Yeah, you have a whole living room full of winning there.
we do. And you said staring at the wall. It's this big shelf that we have in the family room that used to have books on it and some vinyl, and now it's like radios everywhere too. Mm-hmm. And they look cute and cool, but it's excessive. If you start counting, it's like, oh, we have a collection here. Yeah.
Well, and it was just one of those where I got carried away for it. Then the credit card bill came in and I realized, ooh, wow. Yeah. Even with sniping, this ain't so. I just stopped. I knew I needed to stop. But the reason I bring it up is because it reminds me, Sam, of what you have said about these silent auctions that we go to, and you use the Bid Buddy or whatever those things are called, the Bid Pal and all that kind of stuff. And
although Bid Buddy sounds cute.
It's interesting to me how the fact that it's electronic, for whatever reason, makes it even more exciting than if you were sitting at the table holding up a paddle or whatever. You know what I mean?
It's because you're going up against the clock at some point.
Yeah. And I guess because it's kind of clandestine, if that's the right word. No one's really known. I mean, I guess technically no one knows what you bid. But you think about, if you've ever been to one of these fundraisers where they've got things stretched out at tables, whether it's gift baskets or whatever, and they had the old school way was with pads, right?
Yes.
And you would write down your bid on the clipboard, and then somebody would come around and go, I really want that. And if somebody really, really wanted that, they would lurk, right? You knew the person who was competing with you because they were usually over your shoulder, and as soon as you wrote down something on the clipboard, there they were.
They upped it.
Right. And
you can do this on the low.
Right. So I guess the reason I'm saying that is it's really weird to me how I got consumed and caught up in it. Like anything else, mm-hmm. you know, I guess it kind of got exciting and thrilling. It's like, well, yes. I won. It was.
And I can't wait for my new radio to show up. You're always like, yeah. the doorbell would ring and be like, oh, my new radio might be yeah. here. And I was like, we can all do this.
Yeah, exactly. So when the credit card statement came in, you know, my next thought was, I don't need these many radios. I didn't sell any of them. But I just stopped.
We still have them all.
I stopped. Yeah, because I mean, I like them. I really do like them. But it went from 3 to 7 to 15 to whatever it is.
I think
now,
3 or 7 would have looked cool.
So are you looking at maybe selling some of them, or are you keeping them?
I mean, at some point, maybe I will. I've kept all the paperwork on them so that, you know, if it's what?
So if you find another sucker.
Right. Well, I mean, so I'm planning to be around for a while, but my dad was also ill about the time that I was buying all those radios. Do you remember that?
Well, yes.
And so when he passed away, one thing, we didn't know some of the things that he had been collecting off of eBay, and he was doing it the old school way. He wasn't sniping like I was. But there were some little hobby model planes and things like that. They're called Kruvers, and they were these – I think we did a podcast on this several years ago where they were used as training tools for the military during World War II so that you could spot a plane in silhouette.
Right.
So the plane – this Kruver is just – it's just black cast mold.
Right.
And then, you know, military personnel were trained. This is this
you
kind of
it.
Plane and whatnot. So he collected a bunch of those, and we also found a folder of what he paid for all of them on eBay. Oh. My dad did print everything out, and I'm glad he did. Because I wouldn't have known what those things are, you know, worth to resell. Mm-hmm. And like anything, there's a fanatic for something everywhere, right? Everybody's got one man's trash, another man's treasure. And so that's why.
A woman's family room.
Right. But that's the reason. It's not like these things are a fortune. But what I don't want it to be, it's like, oh, man, this is like 1950s junk. Do you want to donate this? Right. It needs to be. Some of them will need to be resold or should
be. Sure, I agree.
We're not talking about extreme cash here, but we're talking about something that is worth a good 50, 60 bucks,
sure.
70 bucks.
Kind of cool.
Know? Right. So
times 21, that's a lot.
Let's do some math here. Mm-hmm. I think that we're all human and we are all capable of this in other ways. It was a compulsion. Is that what you're saying? Because I mean, I'm sure I'm compulsive about things. It's just harder for me to see my own. Right. Sam, you admittedly are compulsive about buying flashlights online.
Yes.
And you have about 100 flashlights in your life.
I only got about a dozen.
See, that's more than anybody needs.
I have 3 in the car.
Okay.
Oh, 15 then.
See, we can all be compulsive about things. You just have to be careful because when you look over, if you were to catalog everything, how much money have you spent on compulsion, especially in our economy, in our time, is it smart? You know, and if you're putting actual physical things in your spaces, are you cluttering up your head too with things?
Yeah.
You know, you just have to be careful. You have to self-regulate, as with so much in life, right?
Yeah. Well, what I found with, and maybe this is a no-duh statement, but what I found with the compulsion or the compulsive things, you tend to rationalize the money. It's really weird. It's almost like a denial. For example, when I was still drinking, you know, and I quit, and my anniversary is coming up on that, Jody, May 19th, 2011. You know, before I quit drinking, if there was something that I wanted at a bar or whatever, even if I went, whoa, that's expensive, I would tend to gloss right over it because I wanted it.
Yeah.
And I didn't care. You know what I mean? And so you rationalize those things.
Yeah.
And so there have been a lot of different things in my life that when I've become kind of obsessed with them, you really start telling yourself stories before you either put yourself in a financial spot or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I guess that's the slippery slope of it. I'm glad that I quit, you know, drinking. It took an awakening to get that. But the same kind of, if I look at all those things that I've really loved, craved, or wanted, at some point, even if I can't afford it, I find some way in my head to dismiss that, which is really dangerous, you know? Mm. I mean, it's not... I'm not taking it to a point where it's just a crazy amount of debt or anything like that, obviously, but it can be. Mm-hmm. And there have been things in the past that, I mean, I knew that in my 20s that I would do that. For example, in my 20s, I wanted to have a CD of every major hit.
I remember from hearing about this.
From the rock era to that point, which would have been from like 1955 to 1990-ish, somewhere in there.
Oh, Lord.
And yeah. And so I ran up one heck of a credit card bill. The worst ever, actually. It was the first time I'd experienced, you know, really bad debt. And so I locked myself down. I did not let myself buy any more. Put myself on a 3-year plan. Yes, it took 3 years, but then I paid that credit card off. And I didn't charge a thing to that credit card until I paid, you know, that off. It took a ton of discipline to go, wow, what was exciting for 4 or 5 months.
Right.
Became something that I was bound to for 3 years because it was in over
my head. It's a good
story to
tell. You know?
Where are those CDs now?
Oh, I still have them.
Oh, in his man cave.
Yeah. Actually, I tried, and I know that there are markets for them. I tried to sell them, and I sold some of my favorites, and I realized, wow, this is going to be time-consuming for, I would say, little money.
Right? You'd have to sell the collection as opposed to one or two here and there.
It depends. And, you know, I mean, look, everything's MP3 now anyway. I was right at the crux of all that changing. It can be done if you've got the time, the energy, or retired. If I was retired, okay, maybe, because you're talking about a $9 or now today a $4 CD that you're still going to have to postage and you're going to have to package and you're going to have to take to the
time
whatever.
Is money.
Right, exactly. So maybe someday I will. It's just not worth the time right now. But yeah, so I did keep them. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not like it's not been a total loss. But who plays a CD anymore?
I was just say
nobody.
Is it not a total loss? We'll see. Okay. Time will tell. Well,
see, I told you I was rationalizing, didn't I?
All right. Factor. Murphy and I had our first Factor meals last night.
Oh, okay. I want to know what the thing is you like the most about it.
My perspective, yeah. I didn't have to cook or clean up.
Bingo.
I mean, when it was over, I was like, really? The kitchen is not needing my attention? Yeah. Incredible.
And I was going to be extra scrutinizing because you've talked about it not being frozen, Sam, and all that.
Yeah.
And I was very impressed. I was also impressed that it was seasoned more than I thought it would be because, you know, sometimes those meals can be bland and you have to add to it. Mm-mm. And everything was, wow. I was very impressed.
Garlic chicken. I had creamy Greek chicken with penne.
Yeah.
It was good.
Oh, yeah. I love their chicken recipe.
It was
good. They're so good. See? 2 minutes in the microwave, and you didn't have to clean up a thing.
And you know what?
It's unbelievable.
Despite my dismay, it was a responsible portion.
Right. I was worried about that for Murphy.
But it's good because it's an intelligent portion. It's what you should be, right?
So, yes. They're chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and intelligent portions right here. And you can get it right now for 50% off because we have a special code for you. Factormeals.com is the website. Factormeals.com. The code is MSJ50. That'll get you 50% off your first box and then 20% off your next box. So it's MSJ50 is the code.
Factor is a sponsor of the Murphy, Sam, and Jody After the Show podcast.
Missed any part of the show? Get it all on the Murphy, Sam, and Jody podcast.